Final hour of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch with you for about another 45 minutes or so. We've had some fun today talking about Lorain County High School hoops, and we promised that we'd get around to the Golden Globes, and we're going to do that right now as we welcome in our very next guest, Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru. Michael, happy new year to you and yours. Great to have you back on with us again after a one-week hiatus, and let's dive right in to last night's Golden Globes. I want to begin with your three major takeaways from what you saw last night.
Well, it was quite a show. It was there was a lot going on, so picking just three takeaways was a little hard, but I think the three that I'm going to go with, first of all, I think a big one is Netflix. Pretty much getting shut out for the most part in the show. They won only two awards, one Laura Dern winning Supporting Actress for Marriage Story and Olivia Colman winning for Best Actress in a Drama Series for The Crown. But other than that, no awards for The Irishman, which was a big surprise. And I think a lot of people were pretty shocked by that. No awards for Unbelievable, one of their critically acclaimed shows that premiered this year. No awards for The Two Popes. So I think it's a big, big blow to Netflix and their hopes at finally getting that elusive Best Picture Oscar that they've really been trying for the last few years, particularly last year with Roma. So really big hit to their overall Oscar chances last night. I think another one was the Best Picture race is now wide open. 1917, I think, surprised people by taking home the Best Director and Best Drama Picture awards, which was very surprising, and it really opens up the race. I mean, we have The Irishman, obviously, still competing for Oscars. You still have Marriage Story. Parasite was not nominated outside of the foreign language category, but expect that to be a nominee for Best Picture at the Oscars, as well as Little Women, which didn't make the cut this time for eligibility on the Golden Globe. So more than anything, we have a wide-open race, really for the first time in a couple of years, where it's hard to tell if there's a front-runner or not. So I think that's a really big surprise from last night. And the third is really, I thought the show itself was really brisk and not too self-serving or bloated. Occasionally with award shows, you kind of get a lot of montages, you get long introductions, and hosts and presenters talking about the magic of film and television. And in this case, I thought it was a very quick show. All the presentations were really quick, and it was done in a nice 3 hours, which is pretty rare for an award show these days. So I think those are the three biggest things that I take away, but obviously a lot going on last night.
No, there was a ton going on, and I thought it was pretty interesting. I normally don't sit down and watch award shows start to finish, and I didn't make it all the way to the end last night, but I saw at least 2.5 hours. I was pretty impressed with a lot of the same things you just mentioned, the way that they were able to kind of keep the show moving, and I thought Ricky Gervais was hilarious. And, you know, we talk about how this is going to be his last time, and I think they love the fact that's a long-running joke with him because he said this before. He was terrific yesterday, and I hope that they can continue to bring him back, because it was kind of no holds barred at the very beginning of that when he kind of took his shots at those in the audience, and I think we could use a little bit more of that with these award shows.
Yeah, I think he really, he even kind of made a reference to it to Kevin Hart and his controversy with not hosting the Oscars last year. He really was not afraid to kind of be controversial and go places that most award show hosts will not do. Most networks won't even allow them to do. I think part of that has to do with the fact that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association has always been a little lax with the way the show is, or maybe not lax, but more relaxed, I guess, than the Oscars, which can be a little bit official and stuffy. So I think more than anything, he had an opportunity to kind of be himself. Obviously, this is his fourth time hosting, so he had a lot of support from the HFPA, but I think he will probably not be coming back. He has repeatedly said he won't. Of course, you can kind of take that with a grain of salt, because I believe he said that before. But I think if you kind of look at a lot of the reactions to him. You really had a lot of people on either extreme. You had some people like you that found it very funny. You had some people that really. I saw one column today on TheRinger.com which said, "Good riddance to Ricky Gervais, host." So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if he sticks to his word. If the Hollywood Foreign Press wants to continue to kind of have a host that's not afraid to speak their mind and really be no holds barred, or whether or not they'll go for a safer pick in the future. But if I was a betting person on this, I would say that I wouldn't expect to see him anytime soon hosting it again. Maybe down the road, but I don't see him coming back next year.
I want to get into the snubs here in just a moment, but you alluded to one of them a little earlier when talking about The Irishman, because usually when they show the director and they show the main star time and time and time and time again throughout the course of these award shows, chances are you're going to come home with some kind of hardware. And while they showed Robert De Niro and they showed Scorsese a ton of times last night, that seemed to me like if you were going to pick out a snub, would be the biggest one, no?
Oh, absolutely. I think that this was a movie that really, even before it came out, had a lot of buzz as being a Best Picture candidate, if not the front runner. And so I think that was one of the biggest surprises of the night, was not only did it not win in that big category, but it didn't win anything. I mean, Scorsese got beat out by Sam Mendes. De Niro won nothing, Pesci won nothing, so I was very surprised that it came away with nothing, and there's a lot of different potential reasons for that. One could be just that the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is kind of known for making choices that differ quite a bit from the Academy, that are a little less predictable, I suppose, but it also could have to be with part of how Netflix and streaming services are still struggling to get acceptance from awards voters. I think there's still kind of a resistance to not going out to the theaters to see these films. And so I think that's part of it, is that theatrical run was really brief and for award purposes only. And so I think there's still a lot of hesitancy in the industry, at least the voting portion of it, that of going in for these streaming networks. So it'll be interesting to see if the Oscars change course. I suspect that it will come home at least with more nominations and possibly one statue come Oscar night. I don't think it's done by any means, but certainly very odd to see a movie that had such buzz and such big expectations behind it walk away with nothing last night.
Outside of The Irishman, who were some of the others that in your minds you feel like got snubbed a little bit?
I don't know if there were any other major clear snubs, but there were several surprises and some sort of head-scratchers. I think the biggest surprise was Rami Youssef winning for Best Actor in a Comedy Series to kick off the night. I think a lot of people expected Michael Douglas to win for The Kominsky Method, and Rami Youssef himself was clearly very shocked to come up and accept the award. I think that's part of it. I think Disney walking away without a Best Animated Film statue last night was a huge shock, with The Missing Link going. I would actually consider that maybe the biggest snub after The Irishman. You could even see the director and producer themselves, when they walked up, could not believe that they had just won. A few other surprises. I think Laura Dern beating out Jennifer Lopez for Best Supporting Actress is not necessarily surprising, but she's had a strong campaign, but I think it really dims J-Lo's chances of coming away with an Oscar in a couple months here. I think that's a big hit for her. And another big surprise was in the supporting actor category for television, with Stellan Skarsgård winning for Chernobyl over two frontrunners, Andrew Scott for Fleabag and Kieran Culkin for Succession. So a few surprises, which is kind of the Hollywood Foreign Press's MO. They were the first people to sort of recognize Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend a few years ago with the awards that they gave that, which were very surprising. So that's kind of their thing, is that usually there's one big surprise. And I think there were a couple this year, but for the most part, I think the biggest snub was The Irishman and Netflix in general.
Again, we're speaking with Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Michael. Once upon a time in Hollywood, brought home quite a bit of hardware last night and saw this movie on New Year's Eve. I liked it, thought it was very, very well done, but what do you think it is about this movie that critics especially loved about it? I mean, Tarantino's got obviously an incredible reputation, an outstanding resume, all that good stuff, but what specific elements about this particular movie do you think people love so much about it?
Well, I think, first of all, it has really just top-notch performances from its two leads. Brad Pitt and obviously won last night, and Leonardo DiCaprio is very funny as the fading movie star in that film. Even Margot Robbie, who doesn't appear on screen too much, when she does, she brings a lot of life to it, even with limited lines. And I think overall part of it is that it's, Tarantino has done such a good job over the years of making films that go in directions that you don't expect, and like a movie like Inglourious Basterds, where these are really very violent guys, but you root for them so much, and he just creates so many unique characters, and I think that really shines through in this movie. There's even the small part. I think of, I'm drawing a blank on the actress's name, but the young girl that Leo is acting with, how funny she is, and there's just so many really funny moments. I think that there's a lot to kind of parse through as far as how it sort of modifies history to give Sharon Tate somewhat of a happy ending. Obviously much different than the way things worked out. I think overall it's just one of his stronger films. It really is not heavily stylized. It doesn't really have that feeling that some of his films have, where that's just sort of constantly paying homage to things. I think this is, as far as certainly his later career, one of the films that is just purely and uniquely his voice. And I think just all of the elements kind of fit together to create a really compelling movie, and certainly a really fascinating one for I guess 2019 and 2020. As telling a story from 1969. So, yeah, I just think that it's one of those movies that sticks with you for a long time for a lot of different reasons.
Perfectly understood. I liked it a lot. One of my favorite Leonardo DiCaprio characters of all time, and Rick Dalton, I thought he was hilarious. I thought he was fantastic, even though some of it might have been a little bit unintentional. I thought the character was terrific. Looking at the box office this past weekend, nothing too crazy out of the ordinary. Star Wars just continues to lead the way. Crazy when you think about just how incredibly successful Disney just continues to be. They'll end up having at least a couple of movies turn in $1 billion for them at the box office in 2019, quite the year. Anything else really kind of stand out to you this past weekend at the box office? The one thing that stood out to me was Uncut Gems is now close to $40 million. That's 4 weeks in. That's a pretty successful film.
Yeah, I think that's one of the bigger takeaways, is that that's been a movie that's been very consistent and growing very well. It has rave reviews. It actually was just included on the National Board of Review's list of best films of the year, and they named Adam Sandler their best actor. And I did get a chance to see it over the holidays, and he's incredible. I think it's honestly the strongest role of his career. I think he's done some really great dramatic roles, particularly Punch Drunk Love, but this really is it's stunning. And the whole film itself is really a there's so much anxiety that's transferred from the screen to the viewer, and it really is just a thrill ride the whole way through. So I think that the good word of mouth, great reviews are going to continue to propel this film. I don't necessarily see it getting into that $100 million plus range, but for a small indie film, it's done really, really well. I think the other two big takeaways from the box office this weekend, first of all, Frozen 2 surpassed its predecessor to become the highest grossing animated film of all time, and shows no signs of slowing down anytime soon. And the remake of The Grudge did okay, which was a little surprising for a horror movie coming out in early January. You don't see that very often, so it was surprising to see it kind of hang on. But other than that, I think we sort of see the end of that Hollywood or holiday season box office, the big blockbusters kind of taking the top. But we're starting to see the award movies start to creep in. I know Little Women did very well this weekend and has been very consistent since it premiered on Christmas. So we are definitely getting into that phase where award movies will start to sort of dominate the conversation and hopefully for the studios anyways, dominate the box office.
And one more topic on the box office here for just a moment, because I saw that sales were down 4% at the box office in 2019 over 2018, but this opening weekend, I believe the figures were somewhere in the area of 7%. These numbers were up on the opening weekend of 2020 as opposed to 2019, so a pretty strong opening as well. Did either one of those numbers surprise you at all?
I think a little bit. I think it certainly helps that, Star Wars is still a juggernaut. I think Frozen really buoys those numbers. I think overall, this has been a really good holiday season. I think just having a lot of big options, not just awards movies, but a few big, genuine blockbusters out right now really helps. And it's interesting. I think there's been so much talk in recent years over the industry and box office numbers and how streaming is involved in that. But I think you still see with these big releases like a Star Wars or an Avengers or even some of these movies like Uncut Gems, these sort of indie sensations, it's still an event to go to the theater. And I think that if you still can promote your movies in a way to make them an event, obviously the quality has to match the publicity, but that's still going to work for studios. And so I think we're getting to a point where studios have sort of figured out how to do the streaming game or compete with the streaming game. And so I don't necessarily have any prognostications on how the box office will look in 2020. I think that's kind of unpredictable, but I do think that you're going to see more of these big tentpole films that will really start to drive audiences back to theaters and not just waiting for things to pop up on streaming.
Well, before we cut you loose here, Michael, we've got to get this week's picks to click. And obviously the kids are back in school this week. A lot of people are getting back to work from long vacations. So they're looking to get back into a routine. So what kinds of things should we be watching for this week?
Well, the big thing to watch on television this week, aside from all of the mid-season and winter premieres, tomorrow night is the start of the Jeopardy! Greatest of All Time tournament. It is a best-of-seven tournament between three of its greatest champions, Ken Jennings, James Holzhauer, and Brad Rutter. They're playing an hour each night on primetime, two back-to-back games on ABC, and the winner at the end of each night with the highest cumulative total wins that day's match, and the first 1-3 wins. So it could be on, it could be over by Thursday night, or it could be over next week. So that's going to be very exciting, and particularly given Alex Trebek's health and the rumors that he is nearing the end of his time as host, this will be something not to miss if you're a fan of Jeopardy. And the other big thing to check out on streaming this week that I recommend is a show on Netflix coming out on Friday called Medical Police. It's from the team behind the hilarious Adult Swim show Children's Hospital, starring Aaron Hayes and Rob Hoibel. The description of the show is: two American doctors discover a deadly virus in Brazil and are recruited as government agents in a race to find a cure and uncover a dark conspiracy. If you watch Children's Hospital, it was a ridiculously goofy send-up of medical dramas, and I expect exactly the same from Medical Police. So a nice, silly, light show to watch over the weekend.
Sounds like a good way to wrap up the work week, no question about that. Michael, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to doing this again next week.
Sounds great.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.